You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to the Leading Edge Cricket Podcast, your favourite cricket podcast. I'm Rich, one half of the Leading Edge. Rob is not with us again today. He's still struggling with some post-COVID issues. He's been in and out of hospital, so I hope he's doing okay. I hope you join me as well. We're passing on our best wishes for him and a speedy recovery. We'll want to see him back soon. It's not the same without you, Rob. Recording a couple of pods here. It should come out relatively quickly together. I've already broken down the or gone through the England India fifth test match, the stunning Bazball inspired test match. In that pod as well, we do have a little look at the squads for the upcoming T20 and ODI internationals between the two nations, as well as England Lions, who are going to be warming up the visiting South Africans. Today, I just want to keep us on track with our England watch that we do, that we focus on the county game. County Championship, it gets overlooked. And you probably will be surprised to hear some of you. There has been some County Championship cricket in the last week or so. There will be some County Championship coming up again in the next week or so. So it's just, I just want to keep everyone up to date if you're using us as a way of keeping up to date on Red Bull County Cricket. I'm also going to just have a little bit of a brief look at where we are with the Vitality T20 Blast, because we are hitting quarterfinal stages of that one. The group stage is complete. So we're just going to have run our eyes over that and see where we are. And then just mopping up with a few bits of interesting news that's popped up over the last week or so that I think you might have an interest in. So let's get underway. Let's have a look at round 9 of the County Championship. So much like round 8, this one has been crowbarred into the middle of the T20 Blast. And as I've said, can slip easily under our radars. But like I say, we're here to give you a brief look of what's going to happen. It's not going to be in depth today. I'm sure that's fine. But this is your bite-sized look at what's going on in the County Championship. So let's get on with Division 1 and let's get into top of the table Surrey. They took on Kent in a game that produced plenty of runs but not a positive result, as this one did finish in a draw. Surrey put on a mammoth first in 678 for 7 declared, included 4 centurions, Hashin Amla 124, Ben Geddes 124 as well, Will Jacks a brisk 103 not out, as well as the most notable 100 of the week. It's not Johnny Bairstow, it's not anybody else, it's not Joe Root, it's Sam Curran. 126 of 75 balls for the England man. That's his first ever first-class century. Absolutely brilliant. More to come for this England man, I'm sure. He's an all-rounder at the moment. He's a bowler that bats, but we're absolutely certain he will end up being a batter that bowls. Fantastic to see him finally get over the line with that first 100. Friend of the podcast, Daniel Bell Drummond, he had a great personal game in this one for Kent. 102 in their first innings before going back-to-back, 107 not out as they followed on and the game came to its conclusion. He was there at the end, obviously. Surrey, well clear at the top and looking very, very good value for it. We said at the start of the season, Surrey, one of them teams that depending on England selections, they could be very, very strong and they could be very, very good. They've not had been particularly impacted by England so far this summer, and it's showing. Top of the table with room to spare. Next up, fourth-placed Essex. They beat second-place Hampshire in a cracker. 12-run win. Stunning man-of-the-match performance from Simon Harmer, who took 8 for 46 and 7 for 161 to go with his very important 61 second-innings runs in a relatively low-scoring game. Hampshire, Liam Dawson, so it was obviously a spinning day. He got 7 for 68 in Essex second innings. While the Hampshire batters tried valiantly to get over the line, the Essex attack held their nerve and grabbed the victory. Harmer's 15 for 207 in this game is a career best performance for the always impressive South African spinner, who is in England, who will be staying in England, obviously, with the South African test squad. And 15 for, what was it, what did I say? 15 for 207, and he's about to come and bowl against England. Good luck, boys. Good luck. Simon Harmer, absolute legend of the county game. Other two games in the first division this week, we had Northants against Warwickshire, Gloucestershire against Lancashire. Both games finished in draws. Northants, Warwickshire, let's have a look. A few notable performers in this one included 102 off 270 balls for Warwickshire's Dom Sibley. More news on him later if you're interested in Mr. Sibley. Rob Keogh, 130. Luke Proctor, 144, not out. And South African batter Ryan Rickleton, 103, all hit hundreds in the game for Northants. Like Simon Harmer, we're going to be seeing Ryan Rickleton when South Africa arrive. Whether he makes the starting 11, we shall see, but he is with the squads, or at least one or two of the squads for South Africa. Over to the Gloucestershire-Lancashire encounter. England opener, hopeful. Chris Dent hit a first innings 110. Good timing for him. Keep scoring runs openers. We need options just in case. Another hopeful of that England opener spot was Keating Jennings. A man that's done it before. He's consistent. He keeps going. He hit 94 for Lancashire. Lancashire sit third now, 5 points behind second place Hampshire after Hampshire's defeat, obviously, to Essex. Gloucestershire do remain bottom, though, 8 points off second spot Somerset and 28 points off third bottom Northants. Gloucestershire, it's looking like it's going to be a tough ask for them to retain first division status, assuming there is relegation and promotion. I don't know if I dreamt it, but I'm sure I heard some whispers recently about whether or not they're having a conversation about relegation. Probably should have checked that before, but it just popped back into my head now. So we'll see what happens with that. But Somerset, again, Somerset are a team that probably were relatively well fancied this year, but I know Rob put them as a relegation candidate, and they're sitting second from bottom. So good on you, Rob. Division 2, let's have a look, see what's happening in Division 2. The big game this week has to be, and not just because we're Nottinghamshire fans, and I'm from Nottingham, but it's been top place Notts against a team in second spot, Middlesex. The two informed teams, wasn't it? Earlier in the year, Notts absolutely hammered Middlesex, but in this one, it's got to be said, Middlesex secured a draw against Notts at Trent Bridge after they batted out the second innings after being made to follow on after a wonderful 551 for 8 declared from Nottinghamshire. Hassie Pamir, 102, great to see for him. Promising all-rounder Lyndon James, 155, a top score so far for him, superb. And skipper Steve Mullaney, 79, all contributed. Another promising all-rounder, though, not just Lyndon James at Notts for England Watch, Liam Patterson-White, he grabbed himself another 50. He's been superb this year, one of the leading wicket-takers in Division 2, one of the leading, if not the leading, wicket-taker as a spinner. Simon Harmer's probably got something to say about it at the moment. But Patterson-White is having a superb summer, and he's somebody that we need to keep an eye on in regard to England. In reply to that first inning, Middlesex had good contributions from Mark Stoneman, 67, Max Holden, 86, John Simpson, 92, the wicketkeeper, and Luke Holman, 52. After also Holman had led really well with the ball in Notts' first innings of 4 for 122. Obviously following on, Middlesex second innings on a very friendly Trent Bridge batting track, we must say. This was a bizarre innings. Basically, it ended up with all 11 Notts players having a bowl. That's right, 11, including the wicketkeeper, Tom Moores. All 11 had a bowl. Obviously, the game petered out into the draw. As we said, Middlesex finished 261 for 1. Mark Stone, 109, not out. Sam Robson was out of 108, another ex-England opener who's got eyes on England test caps again. Obviously, he was dismissed by Ben Duckett, that well-known bowler. That was his second first-class wicket. What just bizarre. Go and have a look at the scorecard if you get a chance. It's just quite amusing. Hassie Hamid bowled a good spell. Just fun times, eh? I'm not sure if it's fun if you're watching it, but if you're one of those batters that doesn't usually get a bowl, you've had a bowl. It's a bit of fun. Notts remain 11 points clear of Middlesex at the top of Division 2 and look really good value for it. But very, very strong attack. They've even got the likes of Jake Ball coming back from injury now, so they're bowling attack. They could just put two different attacks out and still be very impressive. So you would expect them to be able to hang on and make the way back to Division 1 if I didn't dream it, and there is promotion and relegation. Sussex, they got their first win of the summer, LV Championship summer, obviously. Brilliant 5-wicket win over the very impressive Derbyshire, who we have all been impressed with so far this summer. Derbyshire got off to a great start in this one, though. 551 for 8. Very, very similar to Notts. I wonder if I've done a typo, but it was a similar score. Wayne Madsen, 176. Anuj Dahl, 146 not out. His career best first-class score and his third first-class 100. They led the way. Sussex, in reply, they hit 331. Mohammad Rizwan, 130, the Pakistan superstar. Derbyshire then slipped 127 for 7 in 40 overs. Jack Brooks taking 5 for 46 before declaring for the second time to set Sussex a really tough 342 to win. But just like England, Sussex made relatively short work of this, thanks in large part to a wonderful 141 from 21-year-old opener Ali Orr, who's making a name for himself this year. Pakistan star again, Mohammad Rizwan, he saw them home though with 76 not out off 82 deliveries to get the long overdue win for Sussex. Congratulations to them. Last game of the week, Glamorgan, they beat Worcestershire by 3 wickets and sit solidly in third place now, thanks in large part to a really, really solid team bowling performance, led by Michael Nisa, before Colin Ingram then hit 102 as they chased down the 332-run target. But it was Billy Root, Joe Root's brother, who was a star as he finished 99 not out. So close, Billy. Guiding Glamorgan home with that man, Michael Nisa, also at the crease, finishing on a very useful 26 not out of 29. For Worcestershire, they're going to be very disappointed with this one, letting a very decent target be chased down. They saw a good performance with the ball from Joe Leach with his first in 6 for 44, as well as another good showing from promising all-rounder Ed Barnard, who hit 131, his fifth first-class 100 and his third 100 of this summer. And news on him to come as well. But Ed Barnard is somebody we need to be keeping an eye on. Very much in the vein of Lyndon James for what he can do as a player. Where are we in the county championships for runs scored? Well, worth mentioning, Shan Masood is now on 1,074 runs for the summer, averaging 82.61 with 3 centuries and 4 half centuries. While in Division 1, Kent's Ben Compton, 1,040 runs at an average of 86.66, 400s, 550s. You can see why people are saying he should be playing for England. He's only done it one season. He hasn't really had much of a CV before this season. Came into the county game late, didn't really get his opportunity. There's a lot of teams with a lot of scouts just scratching their heads wondering why it didn't work for Ben Compton elsewhere. Nottinghamshire, for one, will be asking that, as he was with them for a year or so ago. So what's next for the LV County Championship? Well, round 10 gets underway on the 10th of July. I'm recording this on the 6th. It's then followed shortly afterwards by rounds 11 and 12 before the red ball is put once more back on the shelf for this time for the whole of August, as everybody's favourite short format competition, the 100, will take centre stage. As well as that once loved Royal London One Day Cup as well, which has been backburned to almost a second 11 competition. But that's what's going to be happening. August is white ball month. Forget about your red ball. It's all about that. So really good cricket being played. We're going to continue to do the England Watch on Twitter. If you don't follow us already on Twitter and you want to know who's doing well, who's on the periphery maybe, who's in line for a call-up, who's the next in line, have a look on Twitter at Leading Edge Pod. We'll keep doing that. Whenever there's a county championship game going on, every day we'll tell you who the batters, who the bowlers are, who have performed from the people that we think have a shout. So it's not just because someone got 100. It's if someone got 100 who we think could play for England, they're on the list. But if someone got Duck, who we think can play for England, they're on the list as well. We'll keep you up to date so you don't have to scroll through all the cricket info scorecards and waste all that time like we like to do. So as I said, we're going to have a quick look at the T20 blasts. We're at the quarterfinal stage now. A frenetic period of cricket, isn't it, that's just ended with the group stage, the Vitality T20 Blast group stage. There's so much cricket that we're trying to crowbar in for summer, and it's almost like there's one type of cricket that's just been put into the calendar that's kind of getting in the way and causing a problem. I can't put my finger on which format that is, but it's causing a problem. But hey-ho, it'll get worked out eventually, I'm sure. But this came to the group stage did come to end with an absolute drama and controversy. Leicestershire were about to go and play a winner goes through last game against Yorkshire before the Foxes were slapped with a points deduction for bad behaviour once more for Leicestershire. They've been in trouble over the last couple of years. They may feel a little bit hard done by. I've seen one or two commentators. I didn't particularly appreciate the comment from Charlie Dagnall, very, very learned friend Charlie Dagnall, really big fan of him as a pundit, NFL fan, all the rest of it. But I didn't like the fact that he was intimating that if this was a Notts or somebody else, this wouldn't have happened. I take his point. I do understand that. You can feel that way. But Leicestershire have had issues over the last couple of years. This isn't just a one-off and they've been given a really harsh punishment. They've had deferred penalties, they've had fines, they've had warnings. It's happened time and time again. The club have done as much as they possibly can, as they say, though. They're working as hard as they can to eradicate this. I won't go into the incident, but one of the players is a repeat offender. It was going to happen at some point. It's a really tough lesson for Leicestershire. I really feel sorry for them because they've been fantastic in this competition after a tough start to the summer. But it seems like this is a lesson they do need to learn. They probably don't want to hear that from a Notts fan, and they probably don't care. But that's the way it is, and hard luck to them. But Yorkshire did get through in the end. So the quarterfinal lineup is going to look like this: Surrey against Yorkshire, which plays today. So this will be completed by the time you look at this one. Birmingham, who were top spot in the North Division, will take on Hampshire, who finished fourth in the South. Lancashire, second in the North, will take on Essex on the 8th. And then Somerset, finishing second in the South, will take on that just brilliant summer for Derbyshire so far. They'll take them on at Taunton on the 9th. So four games across 4 days. And then we'll find out who goes to that finals day, which I believe is Edgbaston again. Notable absence, and I'm not just saying this as a Notts fan, but Notts Outlaws, they miss out on the quarterfinals for the first time in 7 years. But thanks to Leicester's point deduction, they did nearly have a chance of finishing fourth to get through. They missed out narrowly on the fourth spot, finishing fifth on net run rate. No place in the quarterfinals either for last year's winners, Kent, who finished bottom of the South Group. And last year's semi-finalist Sussex, so hard luck for them. One or two performers that we'll just have a quick look at. James Vince. Whenever there's a conversation about an England squad, James Vince is always there and perhaps is the reason for it. He's been the leading run scorer so far, 622 at 56, 146 strike rate, 2 centuries for that man. We'll go back and forward between batters and bowlers a little bit here if you want. So Naveen Ulhaq, he finished leading wicket taker last year. He's done it again this year, 24 wickets this year, 26 last year. What a player for Foxes he is. It's a shame we won't see him in the quarterfinals with Leicester. Riley Russo, 33-year-old South African. He's hit a blast leading 33 sixes for Somerset as he put on an amazing 507 runs at a strike rate of nearly 190. He's had a recall to the South Africa squad, and he'll be playing some T20 for the Proteas when they play England later in the summer. Richard Gleeson, who we, if you listen to the podcast, we just recorded talking about England-India and looking ahead to the England-India ODIs and T20s, you'll know that this man, the 34-year-old Lancashire quick, has got himself a gig with England T20. What an absolute brilliant story this is. If you don't know about Richard Gleeson, have a click around, listen to the last podcast we did. We break him down a little bit. But also just go and have a look at who he is. It's a great, great story. He's not even playing full-time cricket at the moment. He's only on a T20 contract for Lancashire after a couple of years of injuries. It is absolutely wonderful to see him get a reward and do so well in this competition this year. Sham Masood, different ball, same result for the overseas Sussex man. 547 runs at strike rate 140, 550s for him. Jake Lintott, just been called up to the England Lions, who will take on South Africa. Another solid campaign for the Brum spinner. The bear. 22 wickets for him. Adam Hose, another bear, 29-year-old. He's a bit of a white ball specialist, this man. 541 runs, including second T20 100 this year with 110 not out. Coming off just 53 balls. What fun. Another Leicestershire bowler, Leicestershire wonder kid, 70-year-old Rayan Ahmed. He's been called up to the England Lions as well as Lintott and Hose. And he's took 19 wickets and average of 20 with a 7.34 runs per over in his first T20 campaign at the age of 17. What a talent we have here. Chris Lynn, the Aussie opener, he's got himself 200s this year, 450s for Northants, 518 runs at 160 strike rate. Superb from him. And then the Aussie pair of bowlers, Andrew Ty, 21 wickets for Durham, and Glamorgan, legend, 20 wickets for him, Michael Hogan, in his last year in the county game. Adam Live has to be mentioned as well, starman for Yorkshire. He's basically the reason they've got off to some good starts and been able to bat through and get into the quarterfinals. Harry Brook as well. Absolutely brilliant for him. He's had a pretty good year. But Adam Live, starman with 518 and nearly 180 strike rate. Exceptional stuff from Adam Live. One or two more. George Scrimshaw, big quick from Derbyshire, 21 wickets for him. He's got himself a Lions call-up. Harry Brook, we've just mentioned him. He got 462 runs, 450s. Whatever the format, he's just continuing his really, really fine form. We would love to see him in an England shirt very, very soon. And just a couple of bowlers that would deserve a mention as well. Who haven't played as many games. Jake Ball has got 18 wickets in just 8 games. Most of these players have played 12, 13, 14 games. Jake Ball's just played the 8 so far and 18 wickets. He's going at 9.5 and over, but he's taking wickets. Gloucestershire's David Payne as well. Same number of wickets, 18, but in just 9 games, but a better run per over 7.65 for the England man as well. So a really, really good competition. Apologies, we've not really been able to get stuck into it. There's been one or two issues with work and Rob having COVID, etc. And then obviously the outcome of that with Rob not being around at the moment. So apologies for that, but it's been a great competition. We'll break down the quarterfinals. We'll look ahead to the finals when we get chance. And just bring on more and more cricket, guys. To finish, there's just a few bits and bobs that I want to look at. I'm going to call them quick singles. I'm probably stealing that from somebody else, but a few quick singles to have a look at here. And anyone that knows me knows that I don't do quick singles anymore. So firstly, Warwickshire making moves. Our friend Chris Thall will be very, very happy about this. First all-rounder Ed Barnard confirmed as joining the Bears from next summer from Worcestershire. The all-rounder is an exceptional player, a player on the up. He's now being joined by his Worcestershire teammate, Moeen Ali, who's making the same move. For Moeen Ali, this is a real, a going home, isn't it? A return to the county, began his professional career. And I believe it's going to be a white ball-focused move for him. Might just be a white ball contract for Moeen Ali. It'd be interesting to see if that is the case, because obviously there is talk about him potentially getting back involved in the test setup, especially as we look ahead to a Pakistan tour over the winter, where you're going to be needing at least two spinners travelling out there. Ed Barnard, really promising all-rounder across all formats. He obviously has England ambitions. And as ever, when a move like this happens, it's wrong, but I'm sure now a call-up will be sooner rather than later. It's a shame he has to make this move, but fair play to him. He's got ambitions and he wants to go and play there. Good luck to Ed Barnard. We will keep him on England watch. Not all incomings for Warwickshire, though, as Dom Sibley has announced that he's set to rejoin Surrey next summer, where we'll see the Oval outfit having an England opener reunion with Rory Burns and his great hair. 5.5 years for Sibley at Warwickshire. He's clearly a man that wanted to make changes, not just to his technique. We saw over the winter he was invited to go over and play some cricket in Australia, but he decided against it. He just fancied working on his technique at home, I guess, or maybe he didn't want to be thrown into the fire if one of the England openers failed, which ultimately did happen. But obviously he's moving back to Surrey. It's a homecoming for him again, like Ali going back to Warwickshire, Sibley going back to Surrey. He wants to regain his England spot. And there are huge questions, aren't there, for a change over the current England opening partnership. I think Lees and Crawley will continue with the way this setup is. I'm pretty sure that Basball, McCullum and Ben Stokes want to continue with Lees and Crawley for at least the start of the South Africa series. So we'll see how that develops. A couple of other things that I've just found really interesting this week. So stick with us because there's three really good things just to get through before we end here. Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul, he's been appointed head coach of the USA women's national team as well as their under-19s. I just think this is a fantastic move. USA, if they set their mind to cricket, they're going to be good soon. And what an amazing thing to do would be have eventually in the years to come a test series or an ODI series over in America, like we've just had it with three ODIs in Netherlands. I'm all up for that. But they're an associate nation. I mean, they clearly have ambitions to move higher in both men's and women's game. And Chanderpaul, who now resides in Florida, what a player. 21-year career, nearly 21,000 runs across two formats. This is a great move for USA. And he's just said, the women's game is something I'm a huge advocate of and I've followed the progress of the US women's team with keen interest. I've enjoyed being involved in American cricket over the years as a resident of Orlando. So to be given this opportunity from the head coach of USA Cricket is an incredible one. As we know, Liam Plunkett's moved over to America recently. Big Philadelphia Eagles fan. Go Birds. Have to get a mention in if I'm talking about America and cricket. But it just seems like USA are starting to make moves. Maybe they're starting to take the game a little bit more seriously. And I just wonder if something big is about to happen. Penultimate thing I want to talk about is the success recently of the SACA cricket program, SACA, the South Asian Cricket Academy, as they've begun to claim victories in recent weeks against the county second 11s, with the first coming against Northampton 2s, following up against another win against Surrey 2s. We know the talent pool in this country, which players of a South Asian background, but they just don't seem to be able to make the breakthrough in the county game in the numbers you would expect. So this initiative is a fantastic way to help. It's really sad that it's needed, but hopefully it's a jumping off point for a number of these talented players. It's worth noting, research Tom Brown in Birmingham City Uni, 30% of recreational cricketers are classified as British Asian. But that figure falls to 5% in the professional game. Something is wrong. Something needs to change. It's clear as that, isn't it? So basically what this ECB-funded initiative is, they take uncontracted players that they think can make it. They take them into a professional setting with all the support you'd expect, the coaching, the physio, put them through programs, etc. And they hope to see the benefits and rewards. Already, though, Kashif Ali is signed with Worcestershire for the rest of the summer. And you're talking to George Joe, well, Tom Brown, who from Birmingham City Uni, as I said, He said that they were hoping at the start of this program to maybe find 15 or so players who could push for a pro contract. They think they found around 40. This is brilliant for all counties up and down the country. So it's really, really good to see. And I'm so good that George Doble has done so much with Azim Rafiq, et cetera, in the Yorkshire situation. It's so good that he's making sure that this is being pushed forward as well. So keep an eye out that the South Asia Cricket Programme, SACA. Last but by no means least, Finlay Bean, 21 opener. He's hit 441 for the Yorkshire second 11 against Notts second 11 in Nottingham in the last week or so. A record for the competition. 441 off a mammoth 558 deliveries, 52 boundaries, 3 sixes. No, he wasn't playing on a postage stamp. It's not a bad size place they're playing, but what an inning. 712 not for the man before being bowled by not spinner Calvin Harrison. At the fall of his wicket, Yorkshire were a ridiculous 796 for six, another record. And that was in reply to Notts' handy 534. So a bit of a batted deck over there, boys. Maybe you want to kind of just scratch your studs across this track a little bit. Just make it a bit more interesting. Yorkshire eventually declared on 814 for seven. Previous record of that Bean's 441 has broken is a certain Marcus Truscothick, who hit 322 for Somerset Twos against Warwickshire Twos way back in 97. Finlay Bean, never heard of him. If you haven't, I'm not surprised I hadn't. He's a former England under-19 international. He's not contracted by Yorkshire, and his only other fixture he'd played in the second 11 championship this summer was for Warwickshire Twos, scoring 36 over his two innings. And he has played a few T20s in the second 11 competition, though. But Finlay Bean, somebody will be out there trying to sign him up after that. What an epic, epic knock. So that gets us up to date with the county championship. That gets us up to date with where we are with T20. A few bits and bobs in the news. Lots of contracts being signed. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more player movements coming up over the next month or so. It was from, I think, the start of June where players can start discussing terms with new counties once they're, you know, with expiring contracts this summer. So plenty more news coming. Like I said, jump across. If you're still with us, thank you so much. Jump across and have a listen to England, India, a look ahead to the ODIs and the T20s. But that's all I've got for now. Hopefully Rob will be back soon. Once again, Rob, get well soon, buddy. Thank you for editing this, because that's what you do. We couldn't do it without you, obviously, and we miss having you on the pod. I'm sure everyone will agree. So thank you once more. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe. If you want to see us on YouTube, jump across, like and subscribe, tell your friends. If you listen to this on audio, go and give us a review if you can. It'd be really, really helpful, and it'd make Rob feel better if you put a little review on for us. Not trying to bribe you there, but that would be good. But yeah, thanks so much for listening again. Short pod. Hopefully that's appreciated by a few of you. Enjoy. Loads more great cricket coming up. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.